is Lord.
Amen.
Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. See, you can emphasize all of those. We love you, and we're glad you're there. We're glad we're here to bring you the word of life. Ah, my. He is life. There's no life outside of him. What a word. You know, when the scriptures tell us that in the beginning God said, let there be light. He wasn't talking about like this light, you know. Amen? He was talking about life energy. Huh? Which was later put together in the sun. Huh? The sun was created on day number 4 or something. In the very beginning, he said, let there be light. That's when he created energy. Glory to God. And from the universe. And it's been expanding ever since.
Yes.
Woo! What a massive God. My goodness. How long has this universe been around? Nobody really knows. My goodness. And he's our God. And you want to let that little bill worry you, a little, you know, this and that and the other. Cause you concern, be all worried about it. Hallelujah. His eyes is on the sparrow. Remember that song? And I know he watches me. I sing because I'm happy. You know, he watches a sparrow. My goodness. How much is a sparrow worth? Even less than a dime a dozen, I just say. He watches the sparrow. He knows when your one hair drops off your head. My goodness. What a God. What a God. All right. I want to talk to you today about the law and grace. The law and grace. We have to know some stuff about this subject matter. Been around for centuries. And so look at the book of John. John chapter 1. What a chapter. Glory to God. John 1:1. In the beginning. When was that? In the beginning. Woo! Glory, 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 glory. I tell you what, I'm so glad I don't serve some dead God. With arms that can't move. Feet that go nowhere. Well, they have to bring food to it. Chicken or something, the head cut off, put blood on it. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he still is God. Except now he's the God-man. Did you know that?
Yes.
My goodness. Jesus is still God, but now he's the God-man. When he became man, that was permanent. How much love would you have to do that? You say, now, are you sure about that? Well, you check the scriptures. Didn't he eat barbecue fish after he was resurrected? Amen. Didn't he tell them, handle me, touch me. Spirit had no flesh with you. He's a God man. He is our senator in heaven. Glory to God. Who represents our interest. He ever liveth to make intercession for us. Fear not. Jesus is praying for you. Amen. And the Father answers all his prayers. Hallelujah. The same verse 2, in the beginning, all things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. In him still is life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not, meaning he couldn't stop it. Darkness can't stop light. Amen. You take a room that is dark, 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 dark. You take one of those bugs that, is that a June bug that has light, that flashes? That June bug gets in there, everybody's going to know there's light in the room. That darkness can't quench that light. There was a man, verse 6, sent from God, whose name was Sheena, John. Put your name in there. Glory to God. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light that lighteth every man that come into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Wow. Imagine that. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, not of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, and it dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Did you know that Jesus is not anymore the only begotten? The rest of the scriptures refer to him as the first begotten. So your number is in there somewhere. Glory to God. You may be the 1,000,000th begotten, but you be the glory to God. Amen. Full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. You might say, full of grace and the law. The law was truth. Still is truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness of all we received, and grace for grace. Grace for grace. I read all that to get this one. You know, sometimes you just read the scriptures and enjoy them. Amen? For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus the Anointed One. For the law was given by Moses, but truth, by grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Now, this is the scripture that, you know, that has to be properly understood. Otherwise, we go off with some ideas about the law and about grace and not so. Okay? So let that stay put in your spirit, and we'll get to it. I don't know if we'll get to it today, but we'll get to it eventually. Let's talk about what the law is. What is the law? What does that mean? Law. Okay? One or two things. Either the Ten Commandments, when the Bible talks about the law, it's either talking about the Ten Commandments, or it's talking about the first five books of the Bible, the Mosaic Law. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Okay? It's also called the Pentateuch. Pentateuch. Okay? You've also seen, probably heard or read about this phrase, the Law and the Prophets. The Law and the Prophets. And in the midst of that, including all of that, God gave them dietary laws, what they should eat or not eat. And it was very prescriptive. Why? Because they didn't know any better. They didn't know about germs and stuff like that. Huh? So you have to tell them, eat this, don't eat that. And if you do as he said, He is the most accurate scientist of all. He knows some science. Scientists don't know yet. So when you read those scriptures, have that in your mind. He's giving them truth that they have no way, other way of getting. I mean, there are no chemistry labs. Huh? There's no Harvard or Oxford or none of that. But he's God. He knows all things. Natural laws, they have civil laws. Huh? How to deal with each other. They had criminal laws. Definition of crime, the punishment. All of that's in the law. They have laws about infectious disease control. Huh? They have those laws before we have a CDC. Amen. Laws about leprosy. They didn't know why a leper should be, you know, just set aside. Because leprosy is intensely contagious. I mean, the law was truth, was science, was revelation, was protection. And so we have to watch against talking about the law as if it's this ugly thing that, you know, used to be, but we're so glad it's not anymore. That is not a scriptural attitude about the law. Remember now, God gave it. My goodness. That ought to say it all. That ought to say it all. Okay, and here's the law that most Christians have never heard of. The law of conscience. You have, because I've talked about it before. But you may not remember. And you know, the Bible says, Peter said that, should I read that, Lord? Ooh, glory. Yeah, Peter said it, didn't he? All right, let's go over there. Peter said, it's necessary to put your remembrance of these things. Remember that? Even though you know, have heard it? Thank you, Father. See, I wasn't even going to go there, but I can't. Won't disobey you now, would I? Thank you, Lord. If you find before I do, let me know. If you have a, you can look it up. I think it's 2 Peter. Is 2 Peter? Yeah, 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 12. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. That's why I teach some things over and over. Besides, some folks who listen in have never heard it. It's necessary to remind you of these things, though you know them and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Amen. And that's what knowledge does, stirs you up. Yeah, I remember that. Okay? Let me say that now. Go to Romans chapter 2. Let's talk about the law that a law that most Christians never heard of. The law of conscience. We're going to talk about the Mosaic Law, the Ten Commandments. By the way, do you remember the Ten Commandments? I had to remind myself the other day, yesterday. No. Thou shalt have no other gods but me. Remember that? Thou shalt not make graven images to bow down to. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Huh? Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. That's what we're doing today. It's New Testament Sabbath. Number 5, honor your parents, your father and your mother. Jesus later said, this is the commandment with promise, that you may live long on the earth. The first commandment with promise. And then, of course, the back 5 are the easier ones, right? Don't murder, don't steal, don't lie, don't commit adultery, and don't covet. God gave those. And he's a God that knows the end from the beginning. So what he gives is often not necessary for modifications. Now suddenly we have the old covenant, new covenant, but the law and grace. We don't have a proper attitude of the law. Some Christians even disdain the law. That is not a proper reading of the New Testament, the New Covenant. Remember now, God gave it. Think of that. Okay, Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. Look at verse number 10. The law of conscience. But glory, honor, and peace to every man. Did you see that? Did you notice that? Glory to every man. Religion. Christian religion doesn't approve of that. Men don't have glory, only God does. The Bible didn't say that. Amen. I mean, there are all sorts of things we have to renew our minds to. Look at that. But glory, honor, and peace to every man. Now, the honor part, folks might not really have an issue with. The peace part, oh yeah, no issue with that. But the glory part. What is glory? The word means heavy with everything good. That describes him. And he wants you to be heavy with everything good. Some of these side journeys help us a lot. That's why I take it. Whoo! You said that well, didn't the Bible say that God will not shed his glory with any man? He didn't say that. He didn't say that. Look at Isaiah 42. He said, who will share his glory with any? He was talking about idols when he said that. And religious folk haven't read the Bible close enough and assume that he's talking about sharing his glory with man. But we just read right there, he says he wants you to have glory. Well, where are you going to get it from? Not from the devil. Whoo! Isaiah 42. Look at it, verse 8. I am the Lord. That is my name. My. And my glory will I not give to another. He didn't say another human. You know. Neither, and makes it plain what he's talking about, neither my praise to graven images. That's what he was talking about. That's what he's talking about. In fact, he's given his glory to us. I'm just going to follow the Holy Ghost here. You know? Look at the book of Psalms. Woo, glory, 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 glory.
Amen. Amen.
My. Psalms chapter 8. God is desirous of sharing his glory with us, his children. In fact, you remember, do you not? Adam and Eve, they were crowned with glory. What do you think departed? When they became, all of a sudden they became naked, or they all of a sudden became aware that they were naked. What do you think departed? The glory of God. What departed? Where is Psalms? I'm in Job. There's some here somewhere, of course. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Psalm 8. Here's an angel who is full of wonder about man. Oh Lord, verse 1. Our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou might steal the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, this is an angel talking. The work of your fingers and the moon and the stars which you have made. What is this thing, man? Why do you pay some attention? He is nowhere
near compared to the sun and the moon.
The angels have no idea. They didn't know that. They didn't know.
The sun wasn't made in God's image. What is this man? Why are you paying so much attention?
What is man that thou art mindful of him? I imagine the angel watched God as he visited Adam and Eve in the garden. I mean, God doesn't visit the angels. They visit him. He's going to visit Adam and Eve. It's like, what is this? What is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. Now what is Elohim? Elohim, that's God. We made just a little bit lower than him. That's why he can live in us. God can't live in an elephant. Yeah. Or a jaguar or a lion. They are not in his class. We are. Amen. My goodness. And thou hast crowned him with glory. There it is. There it is. God crowned man with glory. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, go back to Romans now. Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2 verse 10. Amen. We talk about the law of conscience. The glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. For there is no respecter of persons with God. The only thing God respects is faith. Oh yeah, oh yeah. My. Don't you see? The woman with the issue of blood. Everybody's crowding Jesus. Huh? And Jesus just minding his business, going away, headed towards Jairus' house. And she comes along and touches him with faith. Now got his attention. He stopped. Somebody touch me. Faith. But there's no respect of persons with God. But as many as have sinned without law. How can you sin without law? Shall also perish without law. If there's no law, how can you perish? It is the law that condemns you. Because you broke it. Right? It is the law by which we can call you, you sin because you broke the law. How are you going to sin without the law? Because there's another law. Huh? The law of conscience. This law is talked about here. For as many as have sinned without the law, talk about the law of Moses. There are many who have sinned without the law of Moses. Without the Ten Commandments. But they have violated another law. Law of conscience. This is why they shall perish without the law of Moses. Huh? And as many as have sinned in the law of Moses, shall be judged by that law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For not the hearers of the law are just, but the doers of them. That says three things. Let me look over my notes here. Three groups of people are identified in that scripture. Here's one group. Those who hear the law but don't do it. Those who hear the law and do it. Oh, glory. Those who have not heard the law but do it. Did you catch that? Glory to God. That's the law of conscience. Three groups. Those who hear the law, don't do it. Those who hear the law and do it, and those who haven't heard the law but do it.
How is it possible to do a law you never heard of?
Because there's a law. Okay, I'll go ahead and tell you. There's a law that's been embedded in your spirit. Put your finger there, go back to John. Go back to John. John chapter 1. I'm about to tell you when that surgery took place. God, God. Here's when the law of conscience was embedded. Surgically, spiritually, surgically put in your spirit. John 1:6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for witness, to be a witness of that, of the light. And all men, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to be a witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth. That's when the surgery took place. Lighteth every man that cometh into the world. You were embedded with the law of conscience. When the Spirit of God gave you life, came with a package. Okay, go back to Romans 2. For not, verse 13, for not the hearers of the law are just, but before God, but the doers of it. Three groups of people. Some hear the law, don't do it. Some hear it, do it. Some don't hear it and still do it. Because they have an embedded law in them, the law of conscience, which leads and guides them if they will follow it. Verse 14. For when the Gentiles, in Mexico are playing, what I just told you, when the Gentiles, these are the folks who don't have the law, right? The Gentiles, by the way, you are not a Gentile if you're a Christian. I said that before, but we always have new people watching and so forth. So look, put your finger there, let's go to book of Ephesians, I believe, Ephesians. You're not a Gentile if you're a Christian. The word Gentile simply means somebody who does not have a covenant with Almighty God. And you do. Glory to God. Woo! If you're a Christian, you have a covenant. You have a better covenant. Establish your better blood with better promises. Ephesians 2, verse 1. And you, Paul is writing to the church in Ephesus. These guys used to be Gentiles. They received Jesus. And you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world. You were Gentile. According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh on the children of disobedience, the Gentiles. Now, look at verse 11. You can read in between those verses if you want to. Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles. Well, if you were in time past Gentiles, you must not be in time's present Gentile. Woo, glory. Amen. And what's the difference? When you received Jesus. When you were dead, you were trespassing and since you were a Gentile. But not anymore. Not since you say, Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. I receive you. That brought you to a covenant with God. A better covenant. Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ. Huh? being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Israel had a covenant with God. So everybody who was not Israeli, who was not Jewish, was called a Gentile because nobody else had a covenant with God. Not anymore. Not anymore. Okay, we're about to Romans now. Well, I'm going to go through Romans. Get to Romans. Woo, verse 14. For when the Gentiles, so these folks who don't have law, don't know about the law of Moses. But when the Gentiles which have not the law of Moses do by nature the things contained in the law. How is that possible? How can they do by nature? How can they do something in the law they don't even know about? Because their nature lines up with that law. Hallelujah. The law of conscience lined up very well with the Ten Commandments. He did. Still does. Lines up very well with Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. This is why the Gentiles, even though they didn't have the law of Moses, were able to, by nature, do the things contained in that law. My goodness. These, having not the law, are a law to themselves. They do have another law here. Law of conscience. My. So Gentiles, which have not the law, may do the law by nature. Here's an example. Look at the book of Acts, chapter 28. You remember, do you not, that Jesus came along and summarized the law and the prophets in two things. Didn't he say, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your mind and all of that, and your neighbors yourself. On those two hang all the law and the prophets. So, okay, I know you guys are there, but I'm not really here. Acts 28. Paul is on the road to Rome. He's had shipwrecked because those folks wouldn't listen to him. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. And so then they get aground. And verse 1, Acts 28:1. And when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita, and the barbarous people, these are Gentiles, these are folks who don't know the law, these are heathens, you might say. The barbarous people, the heathen people, people without the law, showed us no little kindness. Where did they get that from? The law of conscience. That's how any human being knows to be kind. Even to their family members. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. That's there is, that's what I just said in tongues, a remnant of God in every human. That is what propels them to come forward when they hear the gospel. A connection is made. It's like you take an electric cord and you connect it to the wall. So here's an example of how that Gentiles, barbarous people, heathens, can know to be kind. Go back to Romans. Verse 15. Okay, so let me read 14 again. For when the Gentiles which have not the law do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts. That's the surgery. God wrote it in their heart. In the heart of every Gentile, those who don't even know him, don't know the law yet, don't know the gospel yet. He wrote it in there. That is the law of conscience. Law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing them witness, and their thoughts either accusing them or excusing them. The conscience plays the role of judge, lets them know what's right and what's wrong. This is not a law that a lot of people have heard of. Now, and then look at verse 16. Verse 16 is very instructive. He says, in the day. So this conscience is going to be leading and guiding these people. And on the day of judgment, the Spirit of God, by the Apostle Paul says, for these people, that's what they're going to be judged on. Everybody has not heard John 3:16. Everybody will not necessarily hear John 3:16. You say, now, didn't he say that, you know, the gospel shall be preached to all the world for witness? Oh, yeah. For witness. For present. That doesn't mean everybody necessarily will hear it. Will accept it. Hallelujah. It says, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus the anointed one according to my gospel. The day of judgment, for some of these folks, this is the law they're going to be judged by, because they know no other. They know no other. They didn't ever see a Bible. Huh? Lived and died before the Bible was written. Thank you, Father. Love conscience. So, if all the churches that we have today were to close down, and the gospel was not to be preached any longer, God would still have a basis for judging those who have never heard the gospel. And that is a very impactful statement, if you stop and think about it. If all the churches closed, all the missionaries quit, God will still have a basis to judge every human being. How so? By the law of conscience. By the law of conscience. Hallelujah. Just like that's like saying, what about the folks who lived before the cross? How does that work? People who lived and died before Jesus went to the cross. How did they get judged? Law of conscience. What about the folks who lived at the time of Moses, the time of Abraham, who didn't have the law, who were not part of the Jewish law? Did they all just go to hell automatically? They're going to be judged with law of conscience. To whom much is given, much is expected. Well, we could say they didn't get to get much. Amen. Oh yeah. We have gotten a lot. Okay? Thank you, Father. What about those who died in Noah's day? Remember Noah and the flood? Look at 2 Peter. Did you know Noah was a preacher? He wasn't just building the boat. He was also preaching. Huh? What did he say? He didn't say Jesus is coming. He had no idea about that. He had no idea about that at all. What did he say? The flood is coming, is what he said. The flood of the coming. Get in this boat. And the last is his corn, Bible says. Second Peter, what does that say? Second Peter chapter number 2. What's my scripture? Look at verse number 5. You can read the rest of that. And spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness. Huh? Bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. What were they ungodly about? They paid Noah no attention. Imagine how long it took to build that boat. He was preaching the whole time. So they were judged by that. Okay, go to Romans chapter 2. I forgot to show something else. What time have we got? Romans chapter 2. Go back there, please. Just across of who we were. Okay. If you look at 26, we'll stop reading at verse 16. If you drop that to verse 26, Romans 2:26, you get the same revelation that we just talked about. Therefore, if the uncircumcision, that's the Gentiles, because circumcision was the mark of the old covenant. God told Abraham to circumcise all his males. And he did it that day. What a man.
Should I say that wrong?
I don't know about you. I wasn't born in the West. I was born in Nigeria, in Africa. I was born in about little town. And I still remember when I was circumcised. I still remember the hurt. Brother, I wasn't an infant.
Oh man.
I was not an infant. I don't know what they didn't do with that. I guess no medical facility. I don't know. I was not an infant. Man. So when I read that Abraham did it when he was 100 and something, I thought, whoa, Lordy. This is a matter of faith for sure. Woo, man. But it was the mark of the covenant. You either did it or you're not in the covenant. My. Just so you appreciate Abraham, all right? He said, Ishmael, come here. You got to get it too. Ooh, my. All right, 26. Therefore, if the uncircumcision, those are the covenant, keep the righteousness of the law, how is it that the Gentiles kept the righteousness of the law? Or you could say the spirit of the law. They kept it. How come? By that law of conscience. Amen. Therefore, if the circumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? In other words, the law of conscience, as long as you obeyed it, it made you right with God, as long as just as though you were in the covenant. And then it says, and shall not the uncircumcision, which is by nature. You see that? The uncircumcision, the Gentile. Shall not the Gentile, might say, which is or who is by nature, if it fulfill the law. How can you fulfill the law when you are a Gentile? The law of conscience. And this individual, now individuals, they will judge you who by the letter and circumcision does not keep the law. If you don't keep the law, they are keeping the law of conscience, they can judge you. They're in a better spiritual position than you are. Much like I said earlier, those three groups of people. Some people hear the law, don't do it. Some people hear the law and do it. Some don't hear the law, but do it anyway. I forgot to show you that. Okay. So, the law of conscience. Mm-hmm. So then, like I said, if all churches close today, suffrage you. Okay? God would have a basis to judge. Look at Romans 1. Here's another reference, something similar to that. Romans 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God, the judgment of God, is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. You see that? They have the truth in them. What is that? The law of conscience. They know better. Just don't want to admit it. They hold the truth in unrighteousness. Won't admit it. And then it gets very plain about it. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. Or to them. It's there in front of them. They're just ignoring it. I'm talking about I'm an atheist. Talking about if they say, God, I don't know it. I don't. God says, don't fool me. Agnostic, atheist, all that. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has showed it unto them. How did he do it? That's their conscience in there. That was embedded in their spirit when the Spirit of God gave them life. He has showed unto them. And then it says, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world. All you have to do is look up, look around you. Huh? Wake up, smell the coffee. You know. Be understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power. You can understand the existence and the power of God by just looking around you. God says, and he is always right. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. If we didn't preach the gospel, they are without excuse. Amen. Amen. Look at verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, wouldn't accept him as God, is what it's saying. And from then I just went downhill. They started doing all sorts of stuff they shouldn't get into. Look at verse 28. And even as they did not retain, they did not like to retain, didn't want to retain. You can't retain something that you haven't first obtained. Impossible. You have to obtain it first. Then you can retain it. He didn't give any human being the choice of deciding to obtain it. He embedded that law in them when they were giving birth. Make it easy for them to recognize. But they don't want to do it. It says right there, they did not like to retain it. Didn't want to do it. It would mess with their plans and the things they want to do and so forth and all that. Look at verse 32. Who knowing the judgment of God, they know it. Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do. This is man thumbing his nose out of God and saying, so what? What are you going to do about it? That's what it is. Nothing but pure rebellion. Because the law of conscience is there. So if we didn't preach the gospel, nobody would have an excuse before God.
So then that begs the question, of course, then why do we preach the gospel, right? Ooh, I'm glad you asked. But we're out of time. So for another edition of this... No. Not yet. Let me go for a few moments in real quick. I don't want to let you hang it like that, but I can't get into all of it there. Okay. So why do we preach the gospel? We do not preach the gospel to give God a basis for judging man. Some people think that. Some Christians even think that. If they don't hear the gospel, how can they be saved? Don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. There is a law in place that will judge you. We preach the gospel to give man an avenue to enjoy the abundant life. Starting now. Jesus said, I came that you may have life and have it more abundantly. We have been focused too much on heaven as a place rather than focus on the quality of life that Jesus came to give us. If Adam and Eve had never messed up, redemption would have never been necessary. They had the abundant life. So our focus of preaching the gospel is not just, okay, receive the gospel, you can go to heaven. After all, you're not staying in heaven that long at all. Unless you've been there for all this time. We're coming back down here. I came. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. That's what it is. The gospel expounds on the covenant available with God and allows us to have abundant life. That's the key. That's the key. It's not all about it. Preach the gospel so folks don't die and go to hell. See, the church has focused too much on that. But time's up. We will pick up from there next time. Father, we thank you. There's so much more we have to know about you, about your word, about your covenant. Thank you for opening our eyes to behold your glory and your depths. That we can fathom your depths a little bit more. We want to do that, Father. We thank you that you want us to do that. I praise and we bless you for a further revelation along these lines. Help us to meditate on the things that we've heard, things that you talk to us, even things that apply to us individually, that we might all come up another level in you. And be so heavenly minded that we are plenty earthly good. That's why you left us down here. As light. Oh, light and salt. We praise you, Father, and we bless you. In the name of Jesus. Everybody said?
Amen.
My friend, do you know him? Do you know Jesus? Oh, he is wonderful. He is marvelous. He died for you. You know anybody else that will die for you? I know you know some folks that said they will. Do you know that for sure? And when push comes to shove, they will actually die for you? Well, he did. He did. And he wants to have a relationship with you, to be your guide through life. Hallelujah. Imagine that. Your tour guide. Receive him now. He waited too long. If your heart, if you're serious in your heart, you mean it, it doesn't take long. He did the hard part. He did the very hard part by dying. All you have to do with a sincere heart, say, Jesus, say that, say, Jesus, come into my heart.
Be my Lord. Be my Savior. I receive you now as my Lord and Savior. I give you my heart. Fill me with your Holy Spirit, Father. I receive my prayer language. Lead me, I pray, dear Father, to a church. Teach me how to live a victorious Christian life. Thank you for doing it. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. My friend, if you obey Him and be led by Him, you will no doubt begin to enjoy the abundant life. You will. I know no Christian who regrets receiving Jesus. None. And you will not be the first. So thank you for doing that. If you live anywhere around here, come see us. There's plenty of room here for you. Okay? If not, keep listening. Keep getting blessed. And we love you. We'll see you next time. Glory to God.